The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast on Wednesday, the 17th of October, 2018. On the podcast today, I have John Mayer, mining analyst and partner at SP Angel, talking about the following companies: Kora Gold, C-O-R-A, Bushveld Minerals, BMN, Arc Minerals, ARCM. We also talk about graphite. It's one of those commodities that's not much highlighted in the EV revolution. Lithium is, you know, copper is, cobalt is, but graphite doesn't get a look in, really, but it's very much needed. And so we talk about Talga Resources, which is listed on the ASX in Australia, also Armadale Capital, ACP. I also have on Alan Green, CEO of Brandon Communications, talking about the following companies: Prairie Mining, that's PDZ, Gulf Keystone Petroleum, GKP, Feedback, FDBK, and Vast Resources, VAST. What am I talking about there? It says Vast, of course. Plus, I have, and listen, keep an eye on this list. It's very important. I can't say this enough. Just go on there, have a look. VoxMarkets.co.uk, the top five most followed list. In fact, on the page there, you can see top 10, but I'll cover the top five. And it's very interesting who people are following. Every now and again, you'll see some knife catchers, because there's been a couple of companies today have had some bad news out. And in fact, Barclay Energia is one of them. BKY dropped about 45% because they're going to be a uranium miner, producer in Spain. But of course, uranium is a very controversial commodity. And there's been some press reports about whether it's how unlikely it is they'll get permitting there for that mine. So it's dropped about 45%. But people are following that highly. And I'll go through the list anyway. There's another one there that's a bit of a knife catcher as well. But that's Berkeley is number two. But I'll reveal the list in a bit. Also, the top five most liked RNSs too. I'll reveal that list in a bit.
Vox Markets is an online community of investors that runs a free mobile and desktop platform that allows you to track news and updates about any UK-listed company, offering RNS push notifications, detailed charts, pricing data, and much more. Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is John Mayer, mining analyst and partner at SP Angel. You all right, John?
Yes, good form, thank you.
Yeah, do you know what? I'm just finding it a very tricky market at the moment, and there are companies coming up with good news, and but I think I just feel at the moment companies have to release good news to stay level, or even, you know, rise a little bit. But I think if you'd gone back a couple of months back, I think companies releasing this kind of news, you know, 3 or 4 months back, would have risen nicely. It's just hard work at the moment. I mean, you know, I don't know if you look at stocks on a day-to-day basis, more on the analyst side, but have you got any clients saying it's hard work at the moment, John?
I think the world is a bit risk averse because Donald Trump is difficult to predict. Yeah. Or shall we say, what we can predict is that he'll be creating more aggro and chaos around the world. And that naturally makes people, I think, pull back and become a bit more risk averse. Having said that, commodities still look like a good place. In fact, if anything, I think gold as an investment is looking much more interesting than it was. And although, you know, one might say, oh, well, sell gold and buy US treasuries, because the sort of rise in the expected rise in US interest rates has some interesting ramifications, it also makes the world a bit more uncertain. And what major investors do is they park their money in gold, waiting for the next move. Now, at the same time, we've got rising oil prices. In fact, I think oil prices are going to rise really quite sharply, particularly with what's going on with Saudi and Turkey and the US. And so there is the potential for more turbulence in these markets. So, and commodities don't look like such a bad place to be, particularly with the Chinese actually keeping the growth going over there. That means that they're still consuming a lot of commodities. And we see this in the import and export stats, that actually things are still going quite well over there from a commodity perspective. And if we sort of get onto to the subject of vanadium, for example, vanadium prices just keep rising to new and extraordinary levels, which is great view for certain companies.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? You're right there. People are on edge a little bit about Trump, because Trump there actually installed his own man at the Fed, and now he's calling the Fed his biggest enemy or his biggest threat. And they go, well, hang on a sec. You know, you can't have the Fed just towing your line all the way. They've got to have a bit of sensibility, you know, because Trump, I know, doesn't care about how much credit or how much debt America has. He just wants to open the floodgates to business, and he'll borrow and borrow and borrow and borrow. He doesn't care. You know, you've seen that with his businesses. So he has no sensible head on like that. He's really a spendthrift. And so, he is pro-business, but to the point of where, you know, he can crash the economy just through the amount of debt going on. You know, it's scary. So, but yeah, I think gold is starting to come back in favour, and you're right with oil. In fact, talking about gold, let's lead on to one of the stocks I know you cover, and I actually hold stock in. It's Cora Gold. It's not been a performer for me because they've released, you know, results on not their lead project, which is Tecladuco, and they weren't, the second set of assets weren't as good as the first. The first one amazing, but their leads for project is San Ancoro, and they sent some good news out about them. SRK doing some kind of independent look at their stuff, isn't that right?
Well, SRK are the leading consulting group in London. Mm-hmm. They have a great reputation, and they're generally very cautious about anything that they say or any statement where their name is involved. So for SRK to come out and support the Cora statement, I think it's very interesting. So the headline, for example, says exploration target confirms multi-million ounce gold potential for San Ancoro gold discovery. Mm-hmm. That's pretty bullish stuff, and that appears to be supported by SRK and the work that's been going on there.
Yeah, well, do you know what? I think the only person who's more conservative than them, maybe, is Dr. John Foster, the CEO of Cora Gold. I quite like him because of that. He's very, you know, under-deliver, over-promises. And I had him on the podcast about three times talking about some of the grades and stuff, and I thought, that sounds quite good. And but he wasn't that enthused about it. And then I had one of the guys, I think it was a business development manager, come on from Cora and talk about it. And he really will give it a bit more of a big sell. And it opened my eyes wide. So Dr. John, the CEO, plays it down a little bit. And so he may be even more conservative than SRK Consulting. So but I don't mind that. I prefer that rather than a salesman CEO who under-delivers, you know? I hate that. Well, for me, it's a red flag. When I get a CEO on and he really hard sells his company, that's a red flag to me, you know?
Well, Foster is very measured, hugely experienced and talented at what he does, and you know, he knows he's got gold projects here that have value and that should be turning into mines. It's just a question of working through methodically to show how, what the shape of the ore body is, what the size and the grade are, and eventually what the value will be. So we're delighted to be able to work with these guys because they are so professional and the projects look so good.
You mentioned vanadium there, and I understand you got a bit of flack last week over Bushveld Minerals and the mention of there. I don't know, what did you do wrong?
Well, in my haste, I mentioned that Bushveld had acquired a 10% stake in Sojitz. I correct myself. They acquired a 21.22% stake in a company called Strategic Minerals Corporation. That increased their effective stake in Vametco, which holds the vanadium business, to 75% from 59.1%. So I apologize for the error in my haste. And in fact, the strike action that they had, or the unprotected strike that they had, wasn't in relation to the negotiation for that stake. There was no connection there. It was just shall we say, fortuitous timing. And so, you know, Fortune, well, who runs the company, he is fortunate indeed sometimes. So and that's going really well because at least the production is back up and running again. The vanadium price is at an all-time high. It's over $100 a unit, and that's just fantastic for them.
Yeah, marvelous stuff. Okay, cool. Was there something out from ARC Minerals that you mentioned?
Yes, ARC, more drilling results come out from them, and this really is getting better and better. Another three results. Bigger intersections, better copper grades. It's copper and cobalt. I think, you know, the cobalt is more valuable than the copper at the moment. And cobalt is a real target for the Chinese. I mean, the Chinese have been offering to buy just about anything in cobalt that they can get their hands on. If it looks like you've got a mine and you can produce cobalt within the next few years, I would expect the Chinese to be showing an awful lot of interest. So this project's really looking very exciting. We're still waiting for the results from metallurgy. But and there's going to be a lot more drill results to come out because we've only had the first 11 so far. They're working quite fast on this project now, and lots more to come. And I think, gosh, given what we've seen so far, this is just getting better and better.
Yeah. ARCM is the ticker there. And I do think, I think it takes a while for things to happen fundamentally, the market to sort of catch up, because we sort of all know, and I've read a lot more articles this week talking about the impending copper crunch that's going to happen. But yet, the copper price isn't reflecting that at the moment. So there is a lag in these kind of things, isn't it,
Well, you never know exactly what's going to happen in the world. So there is always some risk in anything relating to a commodity price. But when you look at a project like, the Zamsort project for ARC, that's not really subject to today's price. I mean, I know people will value it in that way to some degree, but this is a project that will be built in future years. And it's really what the longer term price is all about that is critical. And I think longer term, copper and cobalt are still very critical, fundamental commodities, particularly when you look at battery materials and the electric car revolution. There's going to be an awful lot more copper required for plugging in vehicles and rewiring our streets. And you just can't get away from using cobalt that easily in lithium-ion batteries. The cobalt is integral. And we went around a battery manufacturing facility the other day where they also do a lot of test work on different battery chemistries and they check to see how safe these things are, and their comment was, well, no, it's really not possible at the moment to take the cobalt out of these batteries. You can fiddle around with the contents to some degree, but it's very important that you've got the cobalt there.
Yeah, absolutely marvelous stuff. Well, you got the copper, cobalt, nickel, graphite. All things to be looking at, but I often come back to copper all the time. Thinking this is copper is the thing.
Absolutely, and on the graphite, very interesting announcement from Talga Resources yesterday, indicating that the graphite anodes that they've been testing actually give much better battery performance in terms of much faster charging times and much longer cycle lives. As in your battery will not degrade anything like so quickly if you use a graphite anode provided by Talga's graphite. Well, Talga is an Australian listed company, and they have an extraordinary graphite deposit in Scandinavia where they can carve out solid blocks of graphite straight out of the ground. And I haven't seen this anywhere else in the world. Normally graphite runs at lower grades, but this a freak of nature has created this very special deposit.
How do you spell their name, John? How do you spell their name? What are they called?
Talga, T-A-L-G-A.
Okay, Talga.
So take a look at that. That's
on the ASX, are they?
ASX, that is an absolutely up-and-coming sort of battery-related commodity company.
Yeah, well, do you know what? I do hold a bit of, I don't know if you know about Armadale Capital, but they're in Tanzania, but the grades coming from there are phenomenal, and they're coming through their bankable feasibility study soon, and they've valued it, I think, because of the country. But it seems like it's moving now. I know there's a problem with the new mining commission. A new mining commission has come online now, and they're signing new exploration permits and production permits. So it looks like everything's advancing now, but they're valued nothing, 5 million, and they've got like a 50 million ton resource there, and very good grades, excellent, high quality, high purity grades. They're testing them and all this stuff, but it's worse. And their MPV, what is it? It's what, I can't think what it is now. MPV is about 300 million, something ridiculous. And they're a 5 million market cap. And I just think people think it's too risky, But it is getting better there. No, is it Tanzania? It is, not Mozambique. Yeah.
But, well, we think Tanzania is improving. It's coming back on track. Certainly, the Minister of Mines and Mines Department is behaving properly. And yes, they have good graphite resources down there, so it's definitely a country worth looking at. And if we look over at China, we can see that they've overproduced their graphite. They haven't done it very responsibly from an environmental perspective. The quality of what they've got left doesn't look very good. So I think the Chinese are going to be aggressively buying graphite producers as well going forwards.
Yeah, so ACP is the figure, sorry. NPV of $349 million, IRR of 122%, payback of 1.2 years, low capex, $35 million. They've got a JORC resource of 51 million tonnes at 9.3 total graphic carbon, including 38.7 indicated 9.3 and 12.4 at 9.1. So it's been tested, very high sort of jumbo flakes and all that stuff, but it looks very good. And I just think, yeah, you're right. I mean, people are overly sort of risk averse in Tanzania, but it's getting better by the looks of it. Marvellous stuff. And like Elon Musk said, that's what alerted me to graphite, was that he said, didn't he? He said, people call them lithium ion batteries, but the lithium is very much like the salt on the salad. We tend to use more graphite than we do lithium. So I thought, wow, I didn't know that. And yet everyone's banging on about, you know, lithium's getting the limelight, isn't it? And a bit of cobalt is. But no one's really looking at graphite in such detail, you know?
That's right. Well, graphite's, you know, it's taken us a while to get our heads around the market here. It's very much an industrial market. In many, many respects, a bit like the vanadium industry. Different, well, although with more complexity in terms of grade and flake size and the properties of that the graphite have. And the exciting thing is some of this is particularly good for graphene. And again, there are different ways of producing graphene and different formulas for doing things, and it's a brave new world out there for these guys.
Yeah, you're marvellous stuff. Yeah, John, thanks for that, fella, and we'll catch up next week.
Yeah, look forward to it. Thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications. You all right, Al?
I'm very good, thanks, Jess, and particularly delighted after England's fantastic performance away to Spain last night in Seville.
Yeah, what a fantastic win. I didn't watch it, but I mean, I did see, obviously, people tweeting about it. And isn't Spain, they haven't lost it for, like, is it 15 years or something ridiculous?
15 years.
Yeah,
15 years. I mean, it's a massive away win by any standards, but also because the team is so young as well, you know, and Gareth Southgate's bringing all these young players. And it's just great to see. And not only did they win emphatically, even though Spain gave them, you know, really came back hard in the second half, as you'd expect, but it was the manner in which the goals were scored. It was just goals crafted from open play. It was really, really great to see. So England team has a very bright future. Very excited about that.
Yeah, what's annoying is that Spain beat Wales, didn't they, the week before, a couple of days before, didn't they?
Yeah, that's right. Well, they lost to Spain at Wembley, so I think to sort of exact, revenge and return game like that was great. But you know, it's also a very young side.
The Welsh
too.
And English, the Welsh don't look at it like that. Al, the Welsh think, oh, we lost, and England won. Oh, that's even more annoying. It's not like England doing it for the UK. It's like it's just super annoying that Wales lost and then England won.
Oh, I know.
You're just facing it, really, right?
Well, the thing is, you know, I'll always support Wales, but I have to say, you know, if Scotland play, I mean, I've got some Scottish friends, and I mean, you know, anyone we play, they'll support that team. And I do remember sort of Portugal playing us a few years ago, and had a bunch of Scottish guys in the bar, and Portugal won on penalties. It was the Euros back in the 2005, 2006, and these Scottish guys were going mad when Portugal scored and beat us on penalties. So anyway.
Exactly. Okay, stocks. What are we looking at? Let's have a look. What's the first one?
First one's Prairie Mining, PDZ. We have spoken about this several times in the past, but there was a significant update last week. This is a bit of a long, drawn-out, protracted process, but Prairie Mining have two huge coking coal assets in Poland. The Debiensko coal project, which is estimated to be able to produce 2.6 million tonnes per annum of coking coal, 26-year mine life, and the Jan Karski mine, which is rated to be the highest quality coking coal mine in the Northern Hemisphere. 6.5 million tonnes per annum, and the operating cost of Jan Karski in particular is very impressive. It's $25 per tonne. So coking coal is currently selling around $250 per tonne, and the premium stuff which Jan Karski produces sells for more than that. So the research that was published late last year and updated early this year by Align Research put a valuation of about 118 pence on the stock, which is valuation of about 120, 130 million market cap. Currently trading, in fact, no, more than that, 150 million market cap. Currently trading around 27p, so the market cap's a fraction of that at present. The one of the reasons the share price came back to this level is that the state mining company in Poland, JSW, has indicated that it wants to enter a transaction with Prairie Mining to basically reactivate the mines and start production again. There was an issue with the Ministry of Environment that wouldn't issue or didn't issue a permit within the allotted time to Prairie. Prairie have challenged that, and it seems now that the mine permit will be issued in due course. But the most important thing is that we've had a series of statements from JSW, the state mining company. Now, JSW owns a mine that's adjacent to, in fact, the seam runs across both its mines, and I can't produce it, I can't pronounce it, so I won't even attempt to, but it's Gliwice, I think, but I've probably got that completely wrong, which is adjacent to Debiensko. And JSW has said that talks continue, and the statement it made to GPW, which is the state Polish newswire, said that the Gliwice infrastructure potentially enables coal mining from Debiensko of 500,000 tons of 35 type coking coal per year, and that can be produced and sold to market within 18 months of obtaining the required administrative decisions and the concessions. So essentially it's bringing cash flow forward, much further forward than had initially been estimated by Prairie in their early reports and statements to the market. So Prairie didn't mention this in the official RNS that they published after that, but this is significant. Obviously, JSW knows the coal is there, the infrastructure is there, and in mining terms, in terms of bringing a mine on stream into production, that's a pretty short time frame. So that's quite exciting, and I think I think it's kind of moving this process closer together. Obviously, it's a protracted process. We don't know exactly when it's going to take place, but Prairie shareholders, I'm a shareholder in Prairie. I'm going to sit tight, and you know, if this comes, if all the boxes are ticked and the permit goes through, you know, we've got some significant potential upside to look at in the next few years.
Marvellous. Yeah. When you say it's on, when is it starting, you said?
Well, JSW said the Gliwice, I'm going to call it Gliwice, it's probably something completely different, but the adjacent mine to Debiensko, the statement, word for word, verbatim, potentially enables coal mining from the Debiensko deposit of 500,000 tonnes of 35-type ortho-coking coal per year within 18 months of obtaining the required admin decisions and changing the concession. So in other words, once JSW and Prairie reach a deal, the incumbent government, we know, we're very pro restarting coal mining in Poland. Currently, imports all its coal mainly from the States, and it's got this massive deposit on its doorstep that can be used to supply European steelworks and other operations throughout Europe. So strategically, it's very well placed. JSW know this, and if all the boxes are ticked and they can do the deal, then we're 18 months away from Debiensko producing coal.
Mm-hmm, marvellous. Okay, anything else? What's happening there? What other stuff do we get?
Okay, Gulf Keystone Petroleum, GKP. Now, this is an old bulletin board favourite, and it's been the fortune and the it's created fortunes and created huge holes in deposits deposits. Blimey, I've got coal deposits on the brain here. In portfolios over the years. Gulf Keystone basically operates the Shaikan field, oil field, producing 40,000 barrels of oil per day in the Kurdistan region of Iraq. And, you know, clearly the geopolitical issues in that region are well known. So if you own the stock, then with it comes the inherent risk of a fairly unstable environment, unstable geopolitical environment and all that entails. However, the company over the past few years has delivered a massive recovery in its share price for shareholders. Just over a month ago, it announced its half-year results Gulf Keystone said that operations remain safe and secure throughout the time. Plant uptime of both production facilities of over 99%. Produced an average gross production of 31,800 barrels of oil per day over the period, and full year guidance remains unchanged. The Gulf Keystone, on the back of that, produced a record profit after tax of $26.5 million, and that's up from just $0.7 million for the previous year. And the outlook's very good. Plus, the company remains on track to increase production to 55,000 barrels of oil per day in the second half of next year. So, you know, that's pretty close by. On the back of that, the share price has rocketed from 130 pence over a year ago to trade at 248p today. The stock has also been picked out by Vectorvest. We usually discuss the Vectorvest stock each week, and it was flagged up by Vectorvest on the basis of a series of performance metrics that the Vectorvest platform runs on. There are a series of metrics, relative value metric of 1.5, and that's at 1.5, and that's on a scale of 0 to 2. The Vectorvest target for the stock, based at the current level, is just over £4, and that's also backed up by broker Peel Hunt, that has a price target on the stock of just under £4 too. So it's not just a Vectorvest pick. There is more upside to come from this company. Clearly, you know what you're getting. It's the Shaikan oilfield in an unstable political region. However, the company's had a fantastic half year so far. The share price has rocketed. It seems an awful lot more to come from the area. Clearly, if you decide to buy the stock at this level, then you've got to balance off the geopolitical risk and the issues with that region. But nonetheless, the company continues to produce and looks set to produce or increase production to 55,000 barrels of oil per day.
Yeah. How many you say? How many?
55,000.
Yeah. It's been very popular of late. In fact, the move was pound, wasn't it? Pound was the move. Look at that.
Yeah.
Pound in pretty much in the start of the year. Look at that. It broke above. What did it broke above? 129.
It's just absolutely rocketed the start. And clearly, you know, with that sort of movement, you know, a sharp retracement at some point is probably going to happen. But I think we've seen a bit of consolidation over the past little while. And you know, broker Peel Hunt have reiterated this, their price target's just under £4. But Vectorvest, based on the stock was picked out last year at 130p, Vectorvest cited a target of 179p, and it blasted through that and clearly where it is now is consolidating. So given the fundamental the fundamental sort of outlook with the increase in production, then there's every provided things stay as they are, there's every reason to expect that the stock could climb higher. There's the costs are well under control, it's well run, well managed, the risks are well known.
Yeah. Do you know what? Once it closed above 130, tried twice to close above 130 in the last in 2017, and then it closed above 130. Right on. Where is it? On the 11th of April. That was the first time it closed above 130 for how long? That would have been seen as a nice rally there. 130. Yeah, for almost over a year.
Yeah, that was. Yeah.
And now it's got a 246. It should come back a little bit now, so for a little bit. Anyway, so it's GKP. Anything else, Al?
Yes, we discussed feedback, FDBK, on a number of occasions.
Yeah, I sold them, actually.
I know you sold them, but and the stock has come back, and it's
rallied in the last couple of days, isn't it?
Well, it has, and I just want to on the 3rd of October, about a week and a half ago, the company announced half year results. Losses widened slightly, but ultimately the sales improved. The company during the period signed a worldwide distributorship with GE Healthcare, which is a huge thing. Renewed its contract with Papworth Hospital. Just to recap, Feedback owns the TexRad medical imaging system, an offshoot of which is used by IQAI, the former Flying Brands, for their stone checker software. Feedback owns the proprietary TexRad software, which is used on a number of different levels, has a CE mark for TexRad lung, and going forward, they are addressing they've initiated plans to secure regulatory approval with the US FDA for TexRad, and this is, you know, obviously this will sort of take time to go through, meanwhile on a commercial level, the company continues to secure new contracts. Samsung Medical Center placed an order for TexRad in September 2018. That's through its distributor ISG Korea, sales were up 51% to 771,000. Losses have widened slightly, as I've already stated, but clearly there's an issue with management, or there was an issue with management. They have Dr. Tim Irish on the board now. Dr. Alistair Adele is still the exec chairman, and the company is in the hunt for a new CEO. But with this network of distribution, with the developments in the offing, the company still has a market cap of just 4.5 million. And to my mind, a product with the impact in the marketplace that TexRad has already the distribution, the partnerships, the major blue chip companies that are partnering with TexRad, will at some stage see this company, I believe, climb significantly in value to where we don't yet know. Clearly, if a new CEO joins the board, and that CEO has an additional strategy to bring to the board, that will be good too. But I see TexRad as a key element in developing the feedback story going forward, and clearly the company could well go on to secure other partnerships with other listed companies such as IQAI. So it's a work in progress, but nonetheless, I think the half year results are encouraging, and I think very much watch this space going forward.
Yeah. I'm just not encouraged by that. You know, the small revenues and how slow this seems to be happening. I just feel like they are small revenues. You know, the way it works is it's just very small. Everything's quite small. I think you get a big buyout contract somewhere, and I'm disheartened by it all. To be honest, I don't know why.
I think the thing is the company's got the ace in the pack is the fact that these major blue chip healthcare companies are happy to get involved with TexRad because of the quality of the offering, and also it's commercially very successful too. Balaji Ganeshan, the chief scientific officer, is presenting around the world at various conferences, radiotherapy conferences, and He's promoting the story and talking about Tex Rad, and off the back of that, they're sort of winning new contracts and partnerships on the way through. At some point, I think strategically, it looks likely that one of these big companies could well look at Tex Rad and say, well, that'll make a great addition to what we've already got, or we can use our existing distribution network and resources to scale this up quicker than the company currently doing.
Yeah, so, but isn't it a case of when these companies use their software, it's pay as you use? Isn't that the way it works?
It's a pay as you use model. That's right. And obviously,
they can have it on there. They can have it on this on their networks, but they won't necessarily use it. So signing a deal with a big company doesn't mean they'll get a lot of revenue from it. You know, it just depends how often they use it, I suppose. You know.
It does. Yeah, that's right. And I think this is something that, the broader the spread of contracts and partnerships feedback has for TexRad, the stronger it'll be. And clearly there's an issue there at the moment with taking this forward. And securing FDA approval would be a big step forward for feedback and TexRad. As it is at the moment, I think this is potentially a sleeping giant because at some point strategically this will be a good fit for a bigger player with a distribution network that can scale up the TexRad and the feedback offering going forward.
It may be a sleeping giant, but we don't know how long the giant's going to sleep for. Okay, anything else?
Fair comment. Yes, we spoke about VAST resources a couple of weeks ago, and clearly VAST resources are they're a mining company with a number of different assets around the world. So as a spread of risk, I mentioned VAST resources was offered a good spread of risk because it's got projects in Romania, it has projects in Romania and Zimbabwe.
Those jurisdictions are quite high risk themselves, though, aren't they?
Yes, they are. So there's inherent risk with any mining project in any jurisdiction. But I think the wider the spread, and indeed, VAST has mining projects, the Blueberry project, copper, lead, zinc, gold in Romania, the Manela project, the Carlibaba project, which is adjacent to Manela, and also the Batter Play project. Today, of course, we had the announcement that the commercial association contract and the financial settlement for that project has been agreed, and Batter Play is going to be starting production. They're targeting initial production in the first half of next year. So, we are months away from that, and clearly, once production starts, the company becomes cash generative, which is as Andrew Pirelli, the CEO, said, it's a momentous day for the company because they've actually got in their sights now the day when that Batterply actually starts to generate cash for the company, and we then move on to a mining production company rather than a mining an exploration company. So it's significant. It's a step forward, but clearly there are many more steps to be taken before the company gets there. But I think the main point I wanted to make was that when we last spoke about them, we said that Romania operations were expected to become cash generative over the next year. And indeed, with the step forward taken today, that looks to be the case.
Uh-huh. Do your research, everyone. VAST is the ticker there.
D-Y-O-R.
Excellent stuff. Al, thanks for that, fella. And we'll... I thought you meant that was a ticker then. D-Y-O-R.
Right. D-Y-O-R, yes. Yeah.
Marvellous stuff. And we'll speak next week, fella.
Cheers, just speak next week.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five, Block Energy, B-L-O-E. At four, Cora Gold, C-O-R-A. Of course, we just talked about those. I do hold stock in Cora Gold, and they've taken a hit. But I think people weren't researched on this company. It was a hit on a minor news. It was okay. The news was okay. It wasn't exceptional, but it was okay. At 3.7 digital. But of course, that's, you know, an advantage. Prices drop, company gets cheaper. 7 digital. At 3 has been doing well of late. 7DIG, the ticker there. At 2, I mentioned earlier, Barclay Energia, which is BKY. Massive follow today. And number one, most followed company is Jangada Mines. J-A-N is the ticker there. And I've talked about that, done a sort of blog on those as well, and a video of late. By all means, subscribe to my video channel. I quite enjoy doing them. I will be doing more of them regularly. So, by all means. Top five most liked RNSs are as follows. At 5, Powerhouse Energy Group. Successful independent technology assessment by DNVGL. That's a massive milestone for them, I believe, PHE. I do all stock. I do a diary video today, actually, and I do talk about that. At 4, Sound Energy, Eastern Morocco, commencement of drilling at TE9. At 3, Angus Energy, ANGS. At 2, Talao Energy, results of AGM and chairman's address. And number 1, most liked RNS, came from Vast Resources, progress update on Marangi Diamond Field JV. That's, of course, with a JV with Botswana Diamonds, BOD. Okay, that's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.